Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are we doing this beautiful, beautiful day? It is 45 degrees here in Kingman. We're on our third day of extreme winds. I don't know how to tell you how windy it is, except to say that most of Arizona, at least northwestern Arizona, is probably in New Mexico by now. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing well this morning. We're on the backside of winter, and we'll be closing in on spring here pretty quick. We're going to be taking a little bit of a road trip this morning to Illinois with Ron Romero from the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66. Meanwhile, while we're waiting for Ron here, we've got a couple little updates. Next week, we're going to be talking to Scott Piotrowski of the California Route 66 Association. Mr. Ron, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
You know me, I'd have to be dead a week for it to get better than this.
That's pretty good, I guess. Yeah.
So how are things in Joliet?
Things are fantastic. It's not windy and blowing into the next state. However, it's sunny. We're in the mid-40s right now, which is odd for the end of February, early part of March. And we're enjoying it. It's fantastic.
You guys have, winter has been odd this year. I've got a friend that lives up in North Wisconsin, up on Lake Superior, and they haven't even had a lot of ice up on the lake this year.
No, it's been very odd. I mean, we hit 70 in February, and that's, I think this is, we beat the record this year for the warmest February, at least one of the days in February. But, you know, we're not going to complain, because usually winter around here in these parts is can be several feet of snow, can be cold, could be, you know, horrible weather. I've wanted to be a snowbird for many years. I'm ready to come to Arizona.
Well, I was just going to tell you, you know, the warm winter in Illinois this year has not fooled me. I won't be coming back. I did that for many, many years up in Michigan and Minnesota and Montana, the nasty M places. So I won't be coming back except to visit. Boy, I tell you, Ron, I'm so excited about your museum that you started there in Joliet. On many levels, I'm excited about this. What possessed you to start this?
Well, you know, there were a lot of influences. Excuse me. Certainly, Cleveland, Ohio was a big thing. Going there, I've spent, you know, you could spend the whole day there just looking at music stuff and all the history. And I love, it's the combination of the history that I love and music that I love so much. And then there's a third component that drove me to do this, which is economic development for the city of Joliet. We bring in tourism. When people come to visit us, they go to the restaurants, you know, they go to the other places that they can see the other attractions in Joliet. And there are quite a few. And then the other thing is that Joliet is kind of undergoing a renovation right now. They're redoing the infrastructure. They're putting in a brand new downtown park. They're spending some money. So a lot of different reasons. And of course, you know, we went to places like Nashville and other states that have music museums. And my wife and I were really, you know, drawn in by that.
Well, Joliet is an interesting city, and it's one of the cities that's grasps the potential for economic development and revitalization that Route 66 represents. And now with the centennial approaching, it seems like the city's getting real excited.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, you know, with the centennial in 2026, we want to celebrate and embrace it as much as we can. And coincidentally, in Joliet, we have one of the most beautiful, ornate theaters, the Rialto Square Theater, that has had people from the Marx Brothers back in the day to, I don't know, Stick Scenario and all sorts of people to today. And that happens to be celebrating its 100th birthday in 2026 as well. So we're going to have quite a big celebration going on.
You know, that the Rialto is truly a movie palace. Those crystal chandeliers are absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's don't quote me in all the stats here, but I want to say it's like three stories. There's a particular one here called the Princess. It's like three stories tall. It is the largest in, I think, the second largest in the United States or something like that. But there's some records that it holds. It's incredible. And the whole building itself is just so detailed and ornate that you could spend days and days in there just walking around looking at all the decor, how it's designed.
Well, one of the things I really was impressed with what you're doing on the museum is the classes, the educational programs, because so many schools are curtailing these things now. And I think that's a real, not just for younger people, but for adults who have missed out. They wanted to try music when they were younger and never had the opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, this is an opportunity for people to get their feet wet. And we do work with a couple of the colleges nearby in Joliet that have outstanding music programs. But the idea is that people can come to us for a, you know, 12-week program or 12-week lessons. And then if they decide to carry on and get a certificate or get a degree in music, they can certainly go to the colleges. But we want to give opportunity. For instance, we have a gentleman that's coming in to teach sound. How do you do sound when you're recording? He's recorded with Bon Jovi, with the band Chicago, with like some really heavy hitters. So where else can you go to where you can meet somebody that has actually been in the industry and done some significant projects and be able to ask questions and have them show you how to do mic placement and how to arm tracks and record? So that's kind of what we want to do, is we want to get people excited about what music has to offer. Beyond learning how to play guitar, bass, or drums, we want to show you how to do sound, lighting, maybe manage a band, intellectual property, all sorts of things.
Well, that's really, really important. I tell you, because there's a definite interest and a definite need.
Yeah, agreed.
It says Nolan Stoltz has a question. He says, do you know if it's true that Styx rehearsed for the Paradise Theater tour in the Rialto?
Great question. Somebody did their history. So local to Joliet, there's another town called Orland Square or Orland Park. And there they have a mall. And one day, Dennis DeYoung, the singer and songwriter for Styx, is walking through the mall, and he sees a store called Picture This. In there is a photo, or a picture, I should say, of a theater that's falling apart. It says it's closed. And he built this whole concept album around that Paradise Theater picture. And the idea was that, you know, it's going to be rocking again. It's fallen, you know, to the wayside. It needs to be repaired. And it's going to be rocking again. And when the band went out to take that on tour, they certainly did go to the Rialto, and they rehearsed there. They got their kind of got their show together. At that time, the Rialto was going through a time that was, some people said, you know, it's beyond repair. Let's tear it down. Thank God they didn't, because there was a woman who took on a capital campaign and raised millions of dollars to renovate the Rialto. So it kind of followed, the story followed the line of the Paradise. You know, it's broken down, it needs repair, but one day it's going to be rocking. And certainly they did exactly that. They rehearsed there.
Very good. I was privileged to see the Joe and the Woody and the boys of the road crew perform there when the Miles of Possibility Conference was in Joliet. And that was my first time. I have seen the exterior of the theater. That was my first time inside. And I'm a real fan of the old movie palaces. And that is definitely a jewel.
Me too. And, you know, you mentioned movie palaces. The Rialto still on occasion will have a movie where you can get that old time feel, you know, get your popcorn and go sit in the audience and watching it. Big, big screen through the sound system. It sounds great. But the acts that come through there, and if you've ever taken, you can take a tour at the Rialto. It's a great thing. You can go on a Tuesday. I think they do it at noon. They'll take you around and you can see all the artists that have been there because they've signed the walls in the green room and, you know, down the stairs and stuff. And you can spend hours and hours there just looking at all the artists that have played that place.
Yeah, you're getting quite a, for such a museum that's just getting started, so to speak, you've already amassed quite a collection of memorabilia and some associations, like with REO Speedwagon and Cheap Trick. And of course, for us older folks, boy, those names are pretty big.
Yeah, well, those are some of my favorite bands. And, you know, I'm a kid in a candy shop. I get to do what I love. I've combined my love for history and love, my love for music. And then it's topped off with the fact that I get to meet my heroes. You know, I've stood on stage with Styx to induct them. I've, you know, played with 3/5 of REO Speedwagon at the induction ceremony. What an honor that was. And, you know, I've become friends with people like Dennis DeYoung and Jim Peterick from Ides of March and Survivor. And I love them because they're down-to-earth people that are just my musical heroes.
Would it be safe to assume that you came into this from a musical background?
It'd be safe to assume. I've been playing music for many, many years. Come from a musical family, started in grade school playing, trombone first, then drums and guitars. And I played in every jazz band and rock band that they had, and pep band, marching band, you name it, field band, choirs. I just took a love to music in general. And that was my whole life, was doing that. I actually played music for a living for several years.
You know, I really appreciate and admire people with musical talent. I have a diverse interest in music. My musical skills, well, suffice to say, I have trouble playing the radio, let alone a musical instrument. But
my mom's old line. My dad would say, I play trumpet. My brother would say, I play keyboards and guitar. I play bass and drums. And my mom would go, and I play the radio. So
so you can relate to that.
Absolutely.
Do you have regular hours at this time, or are you still, as we get into spring and summer, will you have different hours?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we're kind of in off season mode. And we opened up, we've basically done a soft opening. We haven't done the grand opening because we still have a lot to do. So we don't charge people to come through and see first floor, which is, almost completed, but, the temporary hours right now are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday and Friday, we're open from 10 to 4. Saturday, 9 to noon. Very short hours because we don't get many travelers right now. But in a couple of short weeks here, we'll be back to 6 days a week. And last year, even though it was kind of a soft opening, we were – the sign-in sheets, to me – that we have a lot of people coming from around the world, but you really, you know, reality doesn't hit until you look at the sign-in sheet and see all the countries that people are coming from. And in some cases going, I didn't even know that was a country. Where is that at? So, I mean, we get people from around the world speaking many, many languages, and we're very excited and very welcoming to have them come visit us.
Well, being on Route 66, you've got an international audience that's showing up at your doorstep. And the Europeans especially have a real strong interest in American rock and roll history.
And I've asked them about that too. The people that come in, I go, you know, I don't know that Americans embrace it. I know there's a lot of people, the roadies, who love Route 66, of which I'm one. I love the history of Route 66. But there's a lot of people that haven't discovered that American history, that Americana history. And I ask them, you're so far away, what attracts you to Route 66? And they say, you know, it's in our movies, it's, you know, folklore, it's, you know, we want to see what it's all about. And sometimes I asked the economic developer one time, I wonder if people, the Parisians, if they realize that they have the Eiffel Tower in their backyard. And he goes, I probably not. They see it every day. So they right. take it for advantage. And people will travel from around the world to go see that. So likewise here, it's Route 66. And there are so many great stops in Route 66, east to west, west to east.
Well, you know, I'm very privileged. I agree. We get so used to seeing something every day, we don't see it anymore. And by meeting with all these travelers, I every day I get to see it renewed. I get to see it through fresh eyes. And really shows. And one of the things you've done recently is you've really created quite an attraction with the addition of a really fascinating neon sign there.
Yeah. So that we called Gigantar, which is a gigantic guitar. So we affectionately called it Gigantar. And that was, believe it or not, we get a lot of people to come Route 66, of course, and we know that. But on occasion, we get people that would say, we came to see Gigantar. And that amazes me that they come from around the world to see that as well. But it's a 24-foot sculpture guitar on the front of the building that's actually built to scale. In other words, the frets are exactly where they should be. The neck is exactly the size of a neck that should be on a guitar. You know, pickups are correct. Everything's aesthetically correct. If we were to be able to take that off the wall and shrink it down, we could make a playable guitar out of it. But it was made by Shannon McDonald, who's known as the world's best Beatles artist. She did a lot of stuff in Liverpool. She did some stuff at the Cleveland Hall of Fame. And she built it in New Jersey. And we had a company from Joliet that donated their time, services, and vehicle, their truck and trailer to go pick that up. And by that, I mean a tractor trailer, semi-truck, and flatbed. And then we did a tour coming back from New Jersey into Illinois, where we came in at Springfield. And we drove from Springfield up to Joliet on Route 66 because we wanted to share the news that we were getting, the press that we were getting. And, you know, we showed up at some of the other iconic stops, you know, and did photos and interviews, and just we wanted to promote the heck out of Route 66. And it was such an enjoyable trip, and people were just so good to us. We really had fun.
Well, that was quite a really put the spotlight on what you're trying to do there. And, well, it put the spotlight on Route 66 in Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, you know, by design. We really, I'm a big believer, not only in Joliet, but throughout Route 66, where none of us are competitors. We are all creating an attraction together. When somebody can come and travel Route 66 and stop at all of those stops, we then don't become competitors. We become, you know, brothers and sisters working together for the same reason, to share that history, to show people what we're real proud about on Route 66.
Well, you know, Michael Wallace said that it was Route 66 was a linear community. And to take that a step further, it's like it's America's longest small town. Most people work together and try to help each other up and down the road. Because, well, from that perspective, what's good for Joliet's good for Kingman or Seligman or Albuquerque.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big believer in that as well.
You've got some pretty big plans, big vision for this museum. What do you see happening between now and the centennial?
Well, there's a lot of things in progress now and more coming. So let me tell you about some of the projects. One of the big projects was we had to, because it's an old building, it was built in 1930, built like a tank, beautiful building. But it didn't have sprinkler systems, and by code, we have to have fire suppression. So when we looked to do that, we found out that we didn't have enough water coming into the building. It was a 1-inch line, and we needed a 6-inch water line. Well, to do that, we had to cut across Lincoln Highway, Route 30. And to do that, that was a $125,000 project. And so we got the grant. It's been engineered. We got our permits to do it, and we're waiting for, I think, sometime after March 15th, they're able to do it. And that was a major thing for us, is to get the water to the building. Next, we had to put the sprinkler system in there. That's another $100,000. Well, we got that grant. So once the water's in, we can start putting in the sprinkler system. We're going to do some updates on the HVAC system. We've got $150,000 for that. And then recently, we received another $180,000 to buy cabinetry for the exhibits. And the interesting thing about it, that is one of the things that inspired me to do this, was that Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, the lead guitar from Cheap Trick, had an exhibit in Rockford at the Burpee Museum about Cheap Trick, his point of view from Cheap Trick. And it was the most amazing, to me, it was the turning point. I've got to get this museum up and running. Well, that was an exhibit, not a museum. And the exhibit's over. And we are buying all his cabinets from that exhibit. And that's about $180,000 worth of cabinets. Yeah. So that's coming in shortly here, too. They just announced that we got the grant, and we're ready to move forward with that.
Hey, it's going to be an exciting couple of years for you.
It is. We're going to, but by 2026, and I hope by 2025, we should be up and rolling. But certainly by 2026, we're going to be part of that big party for Route 66 and the Centennial, the Rialto, and everything that's going on. So it's going to happen.
Well, I can only imagine the party in Joliet with your big plans and the Rialto turning 100, Route 66 turning 100. And you've got some people in the city there, Debbie Jo Erickson and others, that's really passionate about making this thing rock and roll.
Yeah. And even so, we have a brand new mayor. We have a new city administrator. We have a lot of people that are now engaged in getting the city beautified and attractive and becoming an economic engine through tourism. And they're very helpful. Our own mayor, I don't want to get into politics because I'm not that kind of guy, but I got to tell you, this gentleman came through before he was mayor and said, "What do you need to get the first floor open?" And I said, "Well, we need $20,000 to get our bathrooms finished." And he wrote the check himself out of his pocket. Now, I'll say that again, out of his pocket. He then said to us, the big Gigantar, he says, "The one thing you're missing is it should be, you should have like a neon light around it." I go, "Well, that was supposed to be part of the deal, but they kind of went over budget." He took the money out of his pocket and gave us for that too. So that's in progress too. So that's the kind of support we're getting. And IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, came in and did work. They provided time and materials. The plumbers put in bathrooms, were roughed in the bathroom plumbing where it didn't have anything. There's a lot of community support. We're very, very thankful for that.
Well, you know, that's the key, is building a sense of community. Excuse me, a sense of community and community purpose. That is just the key to all of this. But it sounds like you have been extremely fortunate with such a supportive city.
Yeah, we have been. You know, once you start reaching out to people and other people see that they're jumping in, and then somebody knows somebody and somebody else knows somebody, and they know what we're trying to do here. We're doing this for the good of the community. And to be honest with you, and I've said this to people before, we probably could have gone to Chicago and probably somebody would have given us a building to do this in. But this is economic development for Joliet. It's renovating an old building that had been vacant for a while. It's being a part of bringing new life to the city. And there are some really exciting things going on. The downtown center, they're putting in this beautiful $10 million park. And they'll have concerts there and have events there. It's just the heart of the city. So it's good to see it happening.
I knew you were on Route 66 in Joliet. Did you say you were also on the Lincoln Highway?
We are on what they call the crossroads of Mid-America, literally right on the corner, excuse me, of Lincoln Highway, Route 30 and Route 66. I mean, no better position than that.
Whoa, real estate. That's the prime location right there.
I'd say it's a great area too. There's a lot of, Joliet has a lot of great restaurants. I mean, if you want to come down for a burger or you want to come down for a steak, no matter what you want, downtown Joliet has it now, and they're outstanding restaurants. So there's a lot of good reasons to be there.
You also have a podcast you're doing through this, to generate awareness and about the museum.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of guys that come in and they do Rock and Roll Chicago podcast, and they talk with local musicians and artists and do that kind of stuff and kind of promote them on our radio station and the podcast. We have a radio station that runs 24/7, probably the only one in the country that is based on location and not by genre. So you won't hear jazz or you won't hear rock. What you'll hear is Louis Armstrong right next to the Smashing Pumpkins because they both have ties to Illinois. So that's kind of what we're based on. And then you'll hear a lot of the Chicagoland DJs jump on and do tags for us. You know, you're listening to the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66. So it's exciting. That's on 24, and that's roadtorockradio.net.
And that can be accessed from your museum website, roadtorock.org. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get on there, and the website's got lots and lots of information. It's got the links to the radio station, to our gift shop online, and just some general information about the museum and how to become charter members. And I got to give a shout out to our charter members. We're over 1,000 charter members now from 36 states and three countries, and they keep us moving forward. I can't tell you how appreciative of our charter members, and give them a big shout out, because without them, this wouldn't be possible.
I'm a big fan of eclectic. I put YouTube on just random and listen to all kinds of music when I'm working. But we have a radio station you might appreciate out on, it's a small station out in Peach Springs, Arizona, on the Hualapai Indian Reservation on Route 66. And you can only pick it up in that general area. But the most eclectic music you've ever heard in your life, they'll have traditional Apache or, Hualapai music and songs. And then you'll be listening to Jim Reeves. Then it'll be Louis Armstrong and AC/DC. And you just absolutely never know what they're going to play next. And I enjoy that immensely.
Yeah, we do get a lot of people saying that they like hearing what they hear. And one of the best parts is, we'll occasionally get a call like, why is so-and-so on there? Why? Well, because the bass player was from the Allman Brothers. Why are you playing Allman Brothers? Well, because the bass player was from Illinois. So, you know, there's ties like that in there that we, and then once in a while they trip me up too. The guys that put the radio station together, I'm like, why are we listening to so-and-so? And then they tell me it's a good learning program as well. So.
You've got yourself quite a resume, I notice. Illinois Association of Museums, American Alliance of Museums. Gosh, you do keep yourself busy there in Joliet.
Yeah, you know, and I also took on the chairman for the Arts Commission for the City of Joliet. I'm a board member with what's called the City of Joliet's Downtown, City Center Partnership. Is what it is. So it concentrates on this downtown area, bringing in new businesses and looking for people that are looking for spots to have their business. So I'm really a true active player. I don't think we'd get the ball down the field if everybody was armchair quarterbacks. I feel like everybody's got to get in to make it happen, and that's where I'm at.
Well, with the board of directors that you have and the staff you have, I have no doubt that this is going to evolve into an absolute major attraction, because you've got some of the most passionate, enthusiastic people, like Debbie Jo Erickson is another. I've had the privilege of associating with Debbie Jo on several things, including the European Route 66 Festival in Zlin. And
Yeah. Danielle was a natural fit because of her involvement with Route 66. And through her, I met so many great people. And, you know, I attend a lot of the Route 66 meetings, some she's involved in putting on with the red carpet corridor of Route 66. And she is our director of operations. And wow, she's another one. Without her, this wouldn't be moving forward. There is, with her, I mean, she takes care of a lot of our events. She takes care of our tours. We both wear a lot of hats because we're there all the time. And likewise with the board of directors, you know, we've got people that are on the building committee that are there every spare minute they have doing building projects. Or, you know, we've got a legal group or we've got media group. Very proud of all our board of directors and their input.
Well, Debbie Jo's been one of the instrumental people in getting the Miles of Possibility Conference off the ground. And of course, that's an event that I'm just passionate about.
Yeah, I love that. That one's a good one. We were down in, was it Bloomington last time, I think?
Yeah, and this year it's going to be Edwardsville.
Oh, good. Road trip.
Road trip. Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. Nolan Stoltz asked a question. Does the museum have anything from Pumpkin Studios?
Oh, wow. Great question. So Pumpkin Studios, if you're not familiar with, was created by Gary Loizzo. Gary Loizzo was the singer in Gary and the Nightlights. Gary and the Nightlights became American Breed. They had a big hit with Bend Me, Shape Me back in the day. He went on then to create Pumpkin Studios, where he recorded REO, Cheap Trick, Styx, a lot of great bands. And then Gary also became the front of house audio engineer for Styx. And unfortunately, Gary passed away a few years back. And of course, we miss him very much. I just on Friday had dinner or lunch with his son. And we talked over some ideas that we had for the museum and things that we're going to do. All the guys that Gary played with, from American Breed, have been to the museum, have taken part in what we're doing. So, we're still building up some exhibit stuff. I know that his son, Todd, has some stuff for us. And, great. What a great piece of history, a very important part of history, because they recorded some great things there.
Well, you know, another thing I really like about what you're doing is you're showcasing some of the new talent that's coming up. You're giving some new folks a little bit of time in the limelight.
That's part of our mission, is to get, you know, honor, preserve, and promote the music history from Illinois, but also give opportunities to people who want to be in the industry, whether they, and we don't care, despite the word rock and roll being in the name, it's music, everything music, exactly. Care about. And so we want to help people in that any way that we can, educational programs, making connections, you know, teaching them something. And it's not just music. Like I said before, it could be somebody in the music business or trademarks or sound and lighting engineers. So yeah, absolutely.
This is really exciting. I for one, I'm hoping that people include this in their destination list on Route 66. I know that I've been talking to Marian Pavel with the Route 66 navigation app. And of course, this is listed as an attraction in on the app. And
are you familiar? Yeah,
that's another example of the international nature of Route 66.
Sure, absolutely, great example right there.
He is a very passionate supporter. Are you involved with his Mother Road Route 66 Passport program by chance?
Yes, we are. We are the first stop if you're heading from Chicago to out to California, or the last stop. So you could either buy the passport at where we're at, or just come by and have yours stamped. We sell a lot of them.
Yeah, it's really popular. And I guess he's got, he's working, of course, I'm helping him with the Route 66 Centennial Passport and working with an artist there in Illinois, Joyce Cole.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, of course, Joyce. Yeah, she's another one. We love her, too. She's she is involved in a lot of the artwork.
You know, a lot of people, when we think of the music scene, you know, of course, Detroit, you know, was famous in New York, New Orleans. But people forget, I guess it's been overlooked a lot, how strong the music scene has been in Illinois.
Yeah, I've asked myself that for many years. How come I got to be the one to put this together? Because this should have been done years ago. But I'm not going to turn down the job. I love what I'm doing. But there are so many people that came from Illinois that people don't even think about it. You know, the bass player from Van Halen was born in Illinois. Oh, my goodness. One of the Everly brothers, born in Illinois. Things you don't think about a lot of times. Louis Armstrong lived in Bronzeville in Chicago, as did Sam Cooke, as did Nat King Cole, who, of course, sang the anthem of Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Do you remember, here's a bit of trivia. Do you remember in the 70s, there was a TV show called Emergency?
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in there, the two EMTs go around and fix people up. They have their cell phone, huge bag that they have to talk to the hospital. On the other end of that was a very pretty nurse and the doctor, Dr. Early.
Julie London.
Julie London. But do you know who Dr. Early was?
No.
His name was Bobby Troup. He's the guy who wrote Get Your Kicks on Route 66.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, and he actually played in Joliet, too. There used to be a place called D'Amico's right around the corner from us that brought a lot of stars in for events. And he was one that had performed there as well.
Did Bobby Troup, when he started his trip west on Route 66 that became the song, was that did he start that trip from Joliet area? Do you know?
I don't know. That's something I'd probably have to look into that history. I'll have to note that.
Well. I'll tell you what. My pa always said, it's better to fill the head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all.
There you go.
And I have learned a lot here. Chris from Arizona Podcast says that Julie London was actually his lead vocalist.
Yes.
With Bobby Troup.
And his wife. Yes, both.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
This has been really entertaining. Does we got any other questions here? Because I have a feeling we could do this a lot. I have really learned a lot here this morning.
I'm excited to hear from everybody. This is pretty cool to have people checking in and asking questions and stuff, and you know, like to hear from people.
Well, we've got folks with us this morning from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lansing, East Lansing, Michigan, and Ohio, and Arizona, and South Carolina.
Well, hello to everybody. This is kind of fun to be able to stay in one spot and say hello to everybody in so many different states.
All the magic of the modern technologies.
Absolutely.
Ron, you know, I really am grateful. Thank you for taking time for your Sunday this morning to do this. And I tell you, you have an infectious enthusiasm and passion, not only for this project, but for Joliet and Route 66, and it really shows.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, I do. I am very passionate about what we do. It's a big thing. And people, one final thing I'd like to say is that a lot of people say, well, when are you going to open? When's it going to be 100% open? Should have been open a long time ago. Well, in comparison, and I know it's a much bigger project, but it's the Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame took 12 years and $93 million. We are into this. If you take off a year for COVID, which we couldn't do much then, we're into this about 4 years right now. And I think we're into it about $1.75 million, something like that right now. Our budget is, guess what, $6.6 million. And you know, of course, why we took a budget of $6.6 million. 66.
You know, it's really easy for people to sit back in their armchair and talk about how quick things should be done. And yeah, it's totally another one when you find out you're ready to open the doors, but your toilets don't work.
Yeah.
It's a totally different animal. The folks down at Topak 66 Resort, Topak, Arizona on Route 66, they have taken the old gas station stop, a few other things. It goes way back. But they've turned it into quite a resort. but it took them over 12 years yeah. of dealing with tribal governments, federal governments, Army Corps of Engineers, Environmental Protection Agency, to get permission to break ground for their hotel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, preaching to the choir here because, you know, when I put this all on paper, I'm like, oh, we'll have this up and running in a couple of weeks. You know, but the truth of the matter is you have to deal with politics. You have to deal with permits. The other thing is, and I would think this is probably a common story along Route 66, is a lot of these projects are grassroots. A lot of people don't come into these projects with $10 million in their pocket and say, I'm going to do this. It's you rely on the community to help. As I said, our charter members and the sponsors and the donors, we didn't get to that, you know, $1.75 million in this process because I came in a rich man. In fact, I'll probably go out a poor man. But the fact of the matter is that we get a lot of people that are donating to make this happen. And it takes time. You have to earn the trust. You have to have people see the vision. You have to have people with the same passion for music, for economic development, for the city of Joliet, for Route 66. We find our commonalities, and that's what we do to continue to move this forward.
It's really a challenge. You need the passionate leadership. You need to break apathy that permeates a lot of communities because they've seen smoke and mirrors. They've seen the promise of a lot of these projects that's never materialized. And then you need to get the city, businesses, and the community in general behind you on these projects. That's what brings them to fruition.
Yeah, and I see a lot of, you know, there's a lot of support, but you'll still see the people that are like, oh, you're not using my tax money to do this. And the funny thing about that is we haven't used any tax money. Our money didn't come from the city of Joliet. Our money came from other places.
Right.
And when we continue to do this, we're going to provide a tax base directly and indirectly from travelers that will help the community in so many different ways with the schools, with the roads, with the parks. And people don't often realize the inner workings of that. You know, they just think that you're here to take, and that's not the truth.
No, they don't. And they don't do their homework. I'm trying to avoid the politics myself, but we've become so divisive on so many levels. And, it's frustrating. People think that you get government funding when you don't. Yeah. It becomes a frustration. And another part of this is people don't realize that tourism is more than just heads in beds. It's about showcasing your community to prospective business owners. I heard it said that if we make a community a place people want to visit, we make it a place they might want to live, raise a family, open a business, or retire.
Absolutely. And that's what has to be proven. It has to be proof and concept for some people to understand what's happening. You know, why
I've been working with the Historic Electric Vehicle Foundation here in Kingman. Well, they're out of the Northwest up Tacoma and up in Seattle. And they've been working for a while here to create a museum, an educational facility, an electric vehicle museum. Nice. And that's been a kind of a, well, like you're well aware, it's kind of a exercise in pinata impersonations.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That sounds good.
Yeah. Ron, I've got the way. I'll be doing a blog post in the next day or about today's program, about the museum. I've put up here on the podcast, I have your address and website. If people want to become a supporter, want to stop by and visit. And is there anything else? Is there anything we can do for you besides that to help?
No, we appreciate that very much. And help us, because I know you've got some wide range of listeners here. One of my missions is I'd like to see charter members from all 50 states. So let's keep spreading the word and see, you know, this is, it's funny that people are in different states for, and they support us for many reasons. One, because they know somebody from Illinois that is in a big band, or they like the music from Illinois, they like music, whatever it may be. We appreciate the support, and through tough times, including COVID times. I mean, we bought the building in 2019 and started having with a mortgage, not being open, and all work stopped for a year. So, but we continued. We have a mortgage. We've been able to keep up with it with our utilities because of the help of the charter members and supporters. Corporate sponsorship is also a big thing for us too. So keep spreading the word. We appreciate everybody. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody down the road, if they say, you know, if that's a thing to say on Route 66. But it's been really cool that we've made some friendships and some cool partnerships on Route 66. And we're very honored to be a part of that.
Yeah, Maggie May is with us from East Lansing, Michigan, and she's with the R.E. Olds Transportation Museum.
Oh.
And she says, you know, REO Speedwagon, she says in the museum they happen to have an REO Speedwagon.
Oh, I like
it. A lot of people don't realize that REO made trucks, and one of them was the Speedwagon.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was Olds. Oldsmobile, the son of Oldsmobile, if I'm correct. She may have to correct me in my history here, but REO was the son that created these cars, and that's how they got that. The guys went to school at the University of Illinois in Champaign, Illinois, and I believe that the keyboard player, Doherty, was he came up with the name. He was an engineer at school and came up with that name, and it stuck.
Well, I've always been curious about that. Now, for automotive folks, R.E. Olds is an interesting story, an automotive story to kind of drift a bit here. That was Ransom Eli Olds. And he, of course, started Oldsmobile in the 1890s. But he lost control of his company, Oldsmobile, through a GM takeover with William Durant. And so he lost control of his name as well. So he started another line of cars and trucks using REO, Rio, and that became the truck line. But I would sure be interested to wonder if anybody knows how the band, REO Old Speedwagon, how they latched on the idea of using such a... Well, even in the 60s, these Speedwagons were made in the 1930s. Yeah. How did they come up with the idea of naming a band after such a kind of obscure truck?
Well, like I said, I think the one guy in the band was an engineer, and they were probably studying some stuff about REO. And that came up. I think he saw it on a board, on the chalkboard or something, and it stuck with him. So, it's great history. And those guys, let me tell you, they're the nicest guys you could meet, every one of them. What a pleasure to meet your heroes and realize that they're just down-to-earth, great guys.
I enjoy doing this a lot. And, Ron, you've provided what I needed today. Your infectious enthusiasm is kind of a recharging the batteries, so to speak. So I really hope to see the museum this year. We'll be back in Illinois in October, of course, for the Miles of Possibility Conference. Debbie Jode had invited us up a year ago, and I had an unfortunate situation and couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But hopefully this year.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you. That'd be great. And, open it up to everybody listening. Please come visit when you can. We'd like to show you around and show you our progress. And we're very proud and excited about this. And, thank you.
Yeah, Ron, thank you very much. Taking time from your Sunday morning for this. And, we'll do this again, like, say, next week. I hope you can join us. We'll be talking Scott Piotrowski with the California Route 66 Association next week.
Awesome.
And so we're going to kind of bracket this a little bit, Ron. Well, Illinois, one end of the road this week, and well, next week we'll take it out to California.
Sounds like a great plan.
Ron, thank you. And thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. And thank you for continuing to keep the stories alive on Route 66. Really appreciate all you do.
If I can do anything to help you, just give a holler.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, folks, this has been really great this morning. We got another reason to visit Route 66. I put up the Route 66 navigation app. I put up the website link there. And the Mother Road Route 66 passport is a great way to have some fun on Route 66, support some of these museums and businesses along the way. I'll do a blog post tomorrow on the Jim Hinckley's America website about the museum, Joliet, some of the attractions. I've just got some notes here on the chandeliers at the Rialto Theater, and I'll put all that together for you tomorrow and have that up hopefully by tomorrow afternoon. Great excuse to travel Route 66. Miles of Possibility Conference, we mentioned that. That will be in Edwardsville, Illinois, Wildy Theater, the historic Wildy Theater, October 31st through November 3rd. This is a great event I'd like to encourage people to think about, because you'll meet people like Ron Romero. And it's the only event of its kind on Route 66 that is the business of Route 66. So I think, thank you, Nolan. That fills in a little bit of the information there on REO. But if you travel Route 66, there's some great places like the Illinois Route 66, the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, where you can get a real feel for the magic of Route 66. Places like the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico. And you want to visit David Brenner, listen to his story, and get a little bit of inspiration there in Tucumcari, or Angela Moreland at the Cactus Inn Motel and RV Park in McLean, Texas. And of course, Connie Eccles at the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri. Got a couple other little notes here. We want to, speaking of Nolan Stoltz, I think we need to congratulate congratulate Professor Nolan Stoltz on his accomplishment here, this announcement he made this last week. And I want to just encourage everybody. Another one, of course, is the R.E. Olds Transportation Museum in East Lansing. That's one you might add to your trip. A little bit of a Route 66 detour, but that's fine and dandy. And, you know, if you have trouble planning a trip, or you're kind of, you want everything taken care of for you, give the folks at Route Trip USA a holler. They're kind of like us. They taste the enchiladas, they test the pillows, and they get to know the people along the road and make sure that you have a trouble-free, worry-free road trip in the United States or Canada. And Gilligan's Route 66 Tours is another one that can really take care of you. They offer a self-drive tour. They'll package everything for you, or you can join an actual group tour. Pretty good folks. Hey, before we wrap this up this morning, do we have any other questions? Anybody else want to chime in and got anything else to say? Well, we've got Chris with us this morning, Arizona Podcast. They've made an announcement. They're going to be doing some exciting programs like a Route 66 Minute. That's coming up pretty soon. I don't have all the details, but Bob Bose Bell has launched has True West Magazine. That's what he's famous for, his artwork, his books, and of course the magazine itself. Well, he grew up on Route 66. In fact, here in Kingman, Arizona, his father had some gas stations along Route 66. And he's launched a project called 66 Kids. Part of that project's a website he's putting together. He's got a podcast. I was very honored to be his first guest. And don't have all the details as soon as I do, but we're going to get together, Bob and I, and we're going to, entertain some folks up in Prescott, Arizona, about May 25th. And it should be a lot of fun, because Bob and I can get together and tell some pretty tall tales about growing up on Route 66. And if you're a community organizer listening, Bob's putting together a pretty nifty art exhibit. And he's thinking about making a road show out of his speaking engagements, book signings, and his artwork, his Route 66 artwork. So drop me a note if you're interested in that. Like I said, next week, we're going to talk to Scott Piotrowski, the president of the California Route 66 Association. He's got some updates about the Route 66 Centennial, few projects there, and, of course, about all the road closures, the bridges being replaced along Route 66 out in the Mojave Desert. And after that, let's see, on the 17th, we're going to be talking to the folks down at the Texas Route 66 Visitor Center in Amarillo, Texas. So that kind of gives us a east, west, and middle point on Route 66 programs. And then on the 24th, we're going to be talking to Ray Harvey, the acclaimed mural artist out of Missouri. And he's taking his show on the road. He's got a couple murals he's going to be doing here in Kingman, Arizona for the complex downtown. Scoops on 66, Tin Can Alley, and Mud on 66. I'll try to get Tim and Lenora Webb on here pretty quick to talk about all three of those projects in Kingman. Provide a little more inspiration for community development and revitalization. These folks have taken three condemned buildings and a vacant lot. And through perseverance and investment, a little sweat, blood, tears, they're turning that into a destination and revitalizing a whole block of Route 66 in Kingman, Arizona. As to the Route 66 Centennial, it was a great meeting in Tucumcari, New Mexico this past week. The city of Tucumcari and state of New Mexico Tourism hosted a centennial planning session, and it looks like they've got some stuff in the works. I'll be talking to Connie Loveland with Tucumcari Main Street tomorrow, and hopefully by next week I will have some updates, and we'll see if we can get Connie on the program. My friends, do we have anything else we can do today? Well, did everybody have fun this morning and learn something? Not everybody had fun this morning. I don't want to beat my gums too long here and wear out my welcome. But for everybody who joined us this morning, well, thank you very much. And since we're talking road trips, we'll wrap this up with a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and, well, the boys, the road crew, my friends out of Nashville. Until we meet again, my friends, vaya con Dios and adios.
On an old road, take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride, Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Of course, this program will be published this morning. It'll be archived on Spotify, major podcast platforms. And of course, we have an embedded player on the Jim Hinckley's America website, jimhinckleysamerica.com. And, well, I think that about covers everything this morning. Take care, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.